Welcome back. Another episode of the GPP season 2, episode 15 is coming at you. And this one, I believe, is probably our most important episode ever. And you'll see why that's the case as we get into memes and things. Memes and things actually has two brand new sections today, ones that you're not going to want to miss. So make sure you stick around through this extended intro. I've decided that the intro, I'm going to start speeding through it. So what to expect today in the memes and things section, we've got a We Hate Chris Henshaw section. That's always good. That's always a winner. CrossFit's golden aerobic capacity goose. Who doesn't understand aerobic capacity or bioenergetics or lactate threshold or energy systems or really much of anything other than just saying words that CrossFitters are like, ooh, I know that word. And then they share it because they know the word and they forget to actually verify the quality of the information that's being spread. We're going to talk about a new fitness challenge that I might try, the 5-4-3-2-1 challenge, my own personal goal for that. We'll also talk about some of the new worst supplements that I've seen on the market. I was getting targeted ads for them, and because I'm a nice guy, I always assume the best. And then I had a client sign up. Oh, I take a lot of these supplements. Can you take a look at them? And they are dog shit. Doggy poopy. We'll talk about what brand that is and how to save some money there. Some more research, some more opinion articles. Well, not really opinion articles. Articles being written about meta-analysis of research looking at cycle syncing. So if you are a woman who watches this and you are trying to sync your training up with your cycle, I'm going to make your life a lot easier. And last but not least, we're going to talk about beverages. People still don't understand what constitutes a healthy beverage, what constitutes an unhealthy beverage, when is it okay to have a sugar-sweetened beverage, what are we looking for in terms of total amount of electrolytes, and how to balance that stuff out so you can stop saying good, bad, and sift through all the people who are saying, well, it depends, finding the best sports drink for you. All of that to come. But today's episode sponsor is, of course, Train With Yours Truly, Train With Squat Father. So $50 a month programming for the competitive CrossFitter of all levels. You want to do better in next year's Open. Maybe you want to make quarterfinals. Maybe you made quarterfinals and you're not sure what your training should look like leading up to the big day. Train With Squat Father is going to be perfect for you. It is less than $2 a day, $50 a month, and you get some of the highest quality programming that I personally use, scaled to your abilities. So, did I say CrossFit in there? I don't think I did. Okay. So, again, no more cease and desist. CrossFit, please. CrossFit HQ, please. No more cease and desist. We're not trying to sell CrossFit. We're not trying to use the name. It's like a fitness colloquialism. You should be happy that people are using your name. It's free marketing. Don't send me an email that's like, hey, you're not allowed to use our name anymore on your website to say that you offer programming for CrossFitters. It's like, we're not trying to compete with you. We're not offering a service that you offer. So please leave us alone. I didn't say it. I said it at you, but I wasn't using it as a marketing term. I promise I'm being a good boy, trying my hardest. But Train With Squat Father, if you are a competitive mixed modal fitness at a high speed athlete, this is the program for you, written by none other than Thomas Butler, the Tombot himself. We need your help. I need you. I am the Uncle Sam pointing at you. I need you. Jake, have AI turn me into Uncle Sam for an I need you advertisement to like, review the podcast, do all that good stuff. Listen, there's a lot of podcasts that you probably listen to, and most of them are not going to have the cultural significance and impact that the GPP has. We provide the knowledge and practical takeaways to improve your own general physical preparedness. I mean, other podcasts aren't doing that. They're talking about politics. They're talking about the stock market. They're talking about, like, the Joe Rogan podcast talks about, you know, MMA and all sorts of silly stuff that doesn't have the same impact that we do. The single biggest problem facing the world today is overweight and obesity. We handle that. We provide the information to get you, if you find yourself in that situation, to get you out of it and sort through a massive amount of information about health and fitness, cutting through to what actually matters and what can help you the most. That's why we need you to rate, review, and send the podcast to all of your friends. Click the thumbs up button, subscribe, hit like, send it to a friend, leave 4 comments, do it in that order. Check, 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 check. Okay, now you can get back to watching the podcast. If you are looking for coaching, you can go over to giftedhq.com. That's gifted-hq.com. Find a coach that you think looks best for your needs. If you're not sure which one fits your needs, just use the contact us form, and Jake, when he's done editing this, we'll be happy to help you sort you. Jake is our fitness coaching, our nutrition coaching sorting hat from Hogwarts. And he says, Team DeSantis, Team Squat Father. He'll let you know what team, what coach best fits your personal needs. This week's big offering, and the link will be down in the bio, is going to be our free bodybuilding seminar. As of recording this, I think there are 6 seats left in that. 100% free of charge. So if you are looking to do a bodybuilding contest, your first ever, or maybe you did one and had a bad experience, you want to jump back in with a little bit more of, you know, knowledge of what to expect, how to get the most out of it, and possibly work with one of the coaches that's giving that seminar, please sign up. It's 100% free of charge. We're not trying to upsell you on anything. It's not a timeshare where, you know, we're going to sit you down and you're not allowed to leave until you buy something. This is purely information that's going to benefit the bodybuilding community as a whole, free of charge, with 3 of, you know, Carrie, second at the Amateur Olympia, national level competitor, Anthony, done nationals multiple times, top 5, national level competitor, Jeremy DeSantis, coaches multiple IFBB pros, is a pro himself, coaches multiple people to nationals every single year. These are really good people that you want to learn from. So if you're just trying to get a feel for what bodybuilding is all about, this is going to be a great seminar for you. And that wraps up our intro. That's a pretty quick intro, guys. I'm kind of proud on myself. I feel like I should kind of just yap about some stupid stuff now to eat up some time, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to get right into memes and things with 2 new segments on the front end. So these are sub-segments inside of everyone's favorite segment. My 2 new sub-segments that might come back, we might never see them again. Who knows? Depends what mood I'm on when I'm screenshotting stuff on Instagram for the show. So our first new section is going to be things that should be illegal on social media. The first thing that should be illegal on social media, and this is something that I personally just have a problem with, you know, as kind of CEO and functioning founder and promoter and, you know, being interested in promoting all things Gifted HQ. One of the things that Gifted HQ that we like to promote the most is the success of our clients. We want to share their transformation, whether that's physical, mental, performance, or a mixture of the 3, as it often is. So we say, all right, you know, John Doe went from 250 pounds down to 180 pounds. He lost 70 pounds of body fat over the course of a year. He got stronger. He got fitter. Here's his testimony about his mental transformation as well. We post up the physical transformation, and then we get a strike on our Instagram, on our Facebook account for our advertising, because you can't post a physical transformation. You can't post something that might make someone else feel bad about their, you know, failure in weight loss or their failure in their ability to lose weight. There's no body transformations because it counts as body shaming. That's what we get our ads pulled down for. So it becomes very challenging for us to market the thing that we do best, which is help people transform their physique, their health, their performance, all of that. But, and I want to emphasize, but with 2 T's here, this company here can advertise their, and this blows my mind. They can advertise their butthole shaving nude, N-O-O-D is the company, their butthole laser shaver. Jake, run the entire ad. It's in the assets. You'll be able to find it. Works in 8 weeks. Clinical, FDA approved, clinical trials, yada, yada, yada. People reported hair loss in as little as 3 weeks and 97% satisfaction, all that stuff. The founders on podcasts talking about it. They're advertising it right here. They're sticking it in people's butts. They've got a peach with like moss in it simulating butthole hair. This should be illegal on social media. Stamp it. Illegal on social media. You can simulate butthole hair, but I can't show someone improving their body composition. This, love it. 43,000 views, 1,100 likes, 240 comments, 84 shares. They are probably dumping ridiculous ad dollars into this for butthole hair removal. And I know you'll say, oh, well, they show someone's back and they show someone's arms and they're probably using it for removal. They led with the butthole. They led with the peach with the moss in it, simulating butthole hair. This should be illegal. I don't want to see this advertised anymore if I can't advertise someone's transformation that they should be very proud of, advertising what we do at Gifted. Somewhat ridiculous. I don't like it. Boo. That is what I have to say. That is my review of this ad. I'm sure the thing works. I don't know how or why anyone should even care. But again, I think it's very unfair. I rarely complain about things being unfair in life, but this one I don't like. I think it's a little bit unfair that you can advertise your butthole laser, but I can't advertise someone's 20 pounds of fat loss as they got ready for their wedding to be the leanest, happiest, healthiest version of themselves on the biggest day of their life. But butthole hair is fine.
Sure.
Our next thing that should be illegal on social media is gross macro-friendly recipes. So a lot of people actually like really like this guy's account. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. He's like the macro diet lifestyle guy. Macro lifestyle. Flexible diet and lifestyle. That's it. Flexible diet and lifestyle. Like hundreds of thousands of likes here. 52,000 shares. Guy has a ton. I actually think he might have like a million followers. Some of the stuff that he posts looks pretty decent. This right here, illegal. This should be illegal on social media. The Cosmic Brownie Protein Pizza. Guys, we need to stop with this. We need to just say, listen, I'm undertaking a fat loss diet. I'm going to not eat stuff that's Cosmic Brownie related. I'm going to be done with this fat loss phase as fast as I possibly can. And then I'm going to go back to, with moderation, within reason, eating real Cosmic Brownies. The reason I don't like stuff like this is because these very tasty recipes, when you're in a fat loss or a dieting phase, it doesn't really matter what the macros are. It doesn't really matter how much protein it is. It doesn't really matter that it tastes somewhat similar to this. When you're in a fat loss phase and hunger is high and cravings are high, you really just want to avoid this kind of food altogether because it's an attempt to scratch an itch that's impossible to scratch. What I mean by that is when you're in a fat loss phase, what's driving hunger, what's driving cravings, what's driving the hedonistic pleasure around eating foods that are hyperpalatable, the pleasure that you get both, you know, from an emotional standpoint and a mental standpoint, it's all that hunger and craving is being driven by low energy intake. Duh, you're in a calorie deficit and low body fat or decreasing body fat. Until you fix those two things, your craving and your hunger for stuff like this, for Cosmic Brownie Protein Pizza, isn't going to go away. So you eat a slice of this or, you know, you go crazy and you eat the whole thing. 10 minutes later, you're still going to be hungry. Your stomach might feel full, but those pleasure centers in your brain that just got a hit of, you know, very tasty, highly palatable food, they haven't been satiated. They haven't been fulfilled. There's more to go there. So a lot of the research would say, and, you know, in fat loss research, the plainer the food, the most satiating foods in the world are the ones that, quote unquote, taste the worst. Nothing fills you up faster, makes you want to stop eating faster than a boiled chicken breast and a boiled plain potato. Couple that with the fact that a lot of people get serious digestive issues when they eat stuff like this. This right here, the idea of it, number one, trim your fingernails. Jake, zoom in on this guy's fingernails. Gotta get a trim there. That's too much. The cuticles look good, but you gotta hit a quick trim right there. Don't look at my battery. I was gonna charge my phone soon. But stuff like this, illegal on social media. If you are in a fat loss phase, it's best to just set your algorithm, ignore this stuff like this. Don't try and fit this into your diet if you are a Gifted HQ client. Just eat normal foods. The protein ice cream, protein muffin, protein donut, low-cal this, that, the other. In a pinch, fine. Once a month, once a week, fine. Making this a regular part of your diet, it's just not going to do what it's advertised to do. It'll satisfy that craving. I promise you, if you're truly in a deficit, if you're truly losing a lot of fat, this will not satisfy that craving. And next is the opposite side of this. Another thing that should be illegal on social media is the Nutella cookie pie. I feel like this is AI generated because of just like the caption is kind of weird with the overuse of emojis and the ingredients honestly kind of look wrong too. I feel like this is just an AI generated post that made me mad. The long story short here, this looks disgusting. This looks horrible. The entire thing is just filled with Nutella. It's got a thin layer of cookie all around it. If I ate one slice of this, I would immediately feel like throwing up. These overindulgent food posts, I think post bodybuilding career for me, they just don't do it anymore. So I get sent this stuff by my bodybuilding clients, like, look how good this looks. I look at this and I kind of want to throw up. If you let me know how you feel in the comments on this, I won't yap about this too much. Do you want to eat something like this? All of that Nutella in the middle, the cookie on the top. I just feel like this is overindulgent. It's too much. Give me a nice ribeye instead of a Nutella cookie pie any day. All right, that takes us to our next sub segment, which is things that make you say, hell yeah, brother. We're going to rapid fire through these. Jake, the first video is the Amazon delivery man flexing on the Ring Cam. This is someone who had their Ring Cam set up with an audio, intruder alert. And the Amazon man drops the package, says, I don't care, I'm the Amazon man, flexes on the camera. Love to see that. That made me say, hell yeah, brother. Up next is Gary Brecka. Gary Brecka is a well-known moron. If you have two or three brain cells to rub together, Gary Brecka says some really, really, really stupid stuff. So this video right here is a very popular content creator. I'm going to actually pull up this just so I can actually shout him out because his stuff's really solid. Scrolling. Dr. IDZ. So Dr. _IDZ does these really good green screen videos where he looks at research, based on what influencers are saying. Super big page, super big following. Gary Brecka, it was talking some nonsense about how if you blend fruits, it increases the glycemic response by like 400% or something stupid like that. Something very sensational, something very much intended to just, push people away from ingesting fruits in a way that might fit their lifestyle because it increases the glycemic effect. So this guy kind of debunks that with some research. And Gary Breck was actually in the comments saying, hey, this is actually a really good point. I'm going to share this on my page if you don't mind. I think that I was uninformed or I wasn't aware of this research that you're sharing here. That's pretty cool. Gary Brecka, you're still stupid. Still don't really know your ass from your elbow when it comes to nutritional information. You're still a sensationalist. You're still a wannabe Andrew Huberman / Rhonda Patrick. But it's good to see that you can take critique like this. Dr. IDZ, really good content from him. Love that. The next piece of content is a reel that came across my timeline because I am a Japan enthusiast and someone who, has set their sights on possibly moving to Japan one day. I get a lot of Japanese travel content. This one popped up, made me say, hell yeah, brother. It is the best toilets for pooping in Japan. Love that. Love that. Public toilets, best ones for pooping. Jake, let the reel run all the way through so that people know where they should be pooping when they're in Japan.
These are some of the best places in Tokyo to take a poop in. At Nishisando is one of the most aesthetically pleasing toilets I have ever seen. The sinks were so beautifully designed into the building structure. This one's in Hatagaya, a large open concept toilet that is located right by the streets. In Nanagodori Park is a toilet that is fully voice activated, making for a fully contactless poop experience. Along the streets of Higashi Sanchome is this very flat but bright building that is a very convenient place to take a dump. If your stomach acts up while on your commute but you still need to poop in style, stop at Ebisu Station. It also caters to people with all sorts of physical disabilities. And for nature lovers who need nature to take its course, this toilet at Yoyogi Hachiman is the place to be. With the forest behind, they look like little mushrooms. Nice. So now you're in the loop on where to take the best poop.
The next one was a sarcastic hell yeah brother from me, but it is one of these Stanley Cup restock videos. I don't even know what it means by restock. So it's like you put the thing on the top of the Stanley and then you fill it with stuff. People are calling it like a restock. I've seen people do like charcuterie boards. But this one is a McDonald's version. So it's like a McChicken, chicken nuggets, French fries to put in on top of your water bottle. I don't know. It's really weird. And then you go walk with it. What are you even talking about here? Why do you need to bring McDonald's with you when you're going for a walk with your Stanley Cup? This is like the new version of Water Talk that Jake put me on to and Jimmy put me. It never made it onto my algorithm. Praise the Lord. But it's like the new Water Talk is the Stanley restocks. So hell yeah, brother. Fill that thing up with McDonald's while you go for a walk. The next one is a simple one. It's hollowing out a loaf of bread, taking it to Subway and filling it with Diet Coke. Hell yeah, brother. Don't pay for a drink. Bring your own bread bowl and fill it with Diet Coke. Huge play. Up next is a dolphin blowing rings. So you see a lot of like vape content of people doing this, and it's like, yes, you know, it's somewhat impressive, kind of a niche talent, definitely took some time to develop, but it's taking away from your health. Here is a dolphin doing something in good fun that's not taking away from his or her health, blowing rings, making it look cool, just like the vape guys, without the crippling damage done to your lungs and the holes that you're putting in your brain. Love it. Love to see it. This dolphin is definitely based. Made me say, hell yeah, brother. And the last piece in the assets, Jake is going to love this when he finds it, is an old photo, a throwback photo from Facebook of Jake and I performing Smoking Chemistries. And I have decided that we will drop Smoking Chemistries, the original audio, on our YouTube page when we hit 1,000 subscribers. When we hit 2,000 subscribers, Jake and I will record a music video. Hell yeah, brother. All right, let's actually get into the meat of our show here, memes and things. First things first, let's not mess around. Let's start with Hinshaw doing Hinshaw things. Chris Hinshaw knows words. Chris Hinshaw does not know bioenergetics, aerobic capacity. Chris Hinshaw does not know exercise physiology. Here is a really quality video of him talking about breathing, so efficiency of breath. The first part of this video, he's 100% correct. He's so 100% spot on in the first part of this video that it makes the second part, where he's so hilariously wrong, just there's such a disparity in this video. So Jake, let it run.
The best athletes with rhythm of the breath are swimmers, right? Breath, breath. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Versus, what if I had a breathing pattern? And in running, what we do is we monitor one cycle of breath for steps. When's the next dose coming? The brain will never free up your muscle groups. I have a lot of athletes, they say, I had the best run I've ever had in my life. You know what probably happened to them? They jumped into a rhythm. And you know what? The brain counted on every step, there was a reliable and predictable breathing pattern. And it relaxed the muscle groups.
Now, when we talk about efficiency of breath with swimmers, 100% right. Stroke, stroke, breath. Stroke, stroke, breath. Go a little longer, stroke, three strokes and breath, and then alternate the sides that you're breathing on. So swimmers 100% understand that. And he's 100% correct on runners as well. Runners often don't pay attention to their breathing. So it's, you know, run, 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 breathe erratically, hold your breath. Now you're breathing a lot. Now you're not breathing as frequently. Correct. Correct. Breathing is an issue for runners that not a lot of people focus on. So if you focus on, you know, four steps breathing in, four steps breathing out, you'll be much more efficient in your breathing. And you'll notice that you slip into a rhythm a little bit easier because you're not wasting so much energy on this erratic diaphragmatic breathing of, you know, all the muscles, you know, expanding rapidly, contracting erratically all over the place. You'll get a lot more efficient there in terms of the energy around the process of, you know, inhaling gases that you need, inhaling oxygen, getting the CO2 out. Cool. And no problem with that. That's where he's actually correct. Coffee sip. Let's get into where he is very wrong. The next piece that he talks about how the brain will seize up muscles if it doesn't know when its next dose of oxygen is coming. And it's like this weird idea that the brain doesn't respond to physiological impulses and instead responds to like this innate, self-sufficient, sentient, working on its own premise. So the premise that he's talking about, and Jake, I linked the article here and you can post this here. It's from PubMed. It talks about the central governor theory. So the central governor theory basically stating that, you know, the efficiency of the muscles, it works as a function of the brain downstream from that, telling the muscles, you know, contract erratically, be relaxed, based on this influx of oxygen, influx, efflux of flux state of oxygen. It's just not how the body actually works. Breathing rate is going to be influenced by feedback from the muscles to the brain. And then the brain sends that to the respiratory system. So the muscles consume oxygen and produce CO2. And that feedback is sent to the central processing system, your brain. And then the brain responds to that stimulus and then sends that wherever it's needed. So I'm running very fast. I'm producing a ton of byproduct, a ton of CO2 as a process of that. That high amount of CO2, that high partial pressure of CO2 in the blood, that signal is sent to the brain. The brain then says increase respiration rate to get rid of that CO2 and increase the amount of O2 coming in to continue to supply ATP and buffer out the byproducts of exercise. Chris thinks it's all brain. Chris thinks it's just like your brain controls everything. The brain is telling the muscles what to do rather than the brain is responding to the consumption of oxygen, the production of CO2, and those two levels as they flux up and down are being sent to the central processing system, which controls everything downstream from there. So I think CrossFit really needs to, or CrossFit won't, because CrossFit doesn't care about the science. CrossFitters as a whole need to respond better to stuff like this and call nonsense out. Like Chris is like the Joe Biden of CrossFit. He just has these, no matter where you stand on Joe Biden, he just has all of these gaffes where he just says things that aren't even remotely true. They're not remotely, he gets confused on the basics of exercise physiology. But if you want to sign up for this guy's $1,500 seminar, there's $1,500 weekend seminar where he can teach you shit like breathing. If I was sitting in the audience, Jake played again his little running with his breathing. If I was in the audience, I don't even know how you don't laugh at something like that. But Chris has proven himself to be a fool once again. Chris, either do better or take a step back. Get someone who understands physiology. Chris, you got a degree in business And I can bring up some stuff, Chris. Some possible lies of your past. Someone wasn't the Division I athlete that he said he was. Someone wasn't the Division II national champion that he said he was. The records ain't there, Chris. People can fucking Google. People can just Google your name and be like, oh, did he actually win all these accolades that he said that he did? Oh, he didn't? All of it is a lie? He has a degree in business. He has no schooling in exercise physiology whatsoever. He just attaches his name to high-end CrossFit athletes who were elite without him and then rides that wave. Ah, okay. I see what Chris is now. Chris is a marketer. He's a businessman, not a physiologist. And Chris, anyone who knows their ass from their elbow when it comes to exercise physiology, knows that you are a fool. All right, up next, and it is in our assets folder, Jake, is the 5-4-3-2-1 challenge. So the 5-4-3-2-1 challenge is something that came across my timeline the other day, and I think that I'm very interested in giving it a shot. The 5-4-3-2-1 challenge from Track Strength here is for a challenge to all hybrid athletes: deadlift 500, back squat 400, bench press 300, and run an 800 in under 2 minutes. Or as fast as you can, and do it all in under an hour. All I want to know, Track Strength, is this a fucking warm-up? What is this? An hour? You need an hour to do this? I'll do this in 5 minutes, okay? How about that? How about it's the 5-4-3-2-5 challenge? What do you need all that time for? Warm up your squat, your bench, and your deadlift. Load all your bars separately. Deadlift 500, back squat 400, bench press 300, and then hop your ass on an assault runner or take your happy ass out to the road and run an 800 as fast as you can. If this podcast gets 10 likes, 10, just 10, that's so easy, 10. You can create 10 fake YouTube accounts and just like this and then make me try this. I will try this, and I'll try and do it in under 5 minutes. The only one that I'm not super sure on is the 800. Because an 800 in under 2 minutes is a 4 minute mile pace. So I'm just not sure that I got the juice for that. I can run an 800 very quick. I think Tom gave me like 800 meter repeats the other day. My last one was like, I think just sub 250. So it really wasn't max effort. It was the last one. I wonder if I'm allowed to do this on an air runner. I think that if I'm creating my own do it in 5 minutes rule, I should be able to do this on an air runner, because I think I can go faster on that. I need to get the air runner to down to like 4.0 for the pace. I wonder if there's a way to pace this. I wonder if you like take the first 400 a little slower than you sprint the last 400. No, I think you just kind of have to have a balls out pace from the start. All right, 10 likes. That's all it takes. And I will give the 5-4-3-2-5 my new challenge. I'll give it a shot. I wonder if there's another way that you could change this up. So like a 5-4-3-2-1. No. I bet I could do 600 deadlift. No, I can't. I'm going to do this as it is if this podcast hits 10 likes. How about that? We'll leave it at that for now, and we'll do crazy stuff after that. Guys, I would like to note, I would like to make a small note that I started this podcast with, I started memes and things after my two sub segments with two very legitimate pieces. Jake, the balloons. Kills me. I started this podcast or this segment with two very legitimate pieces of exercise science. Now I'm going to get into my schizo shit. All right. So this came across my timeline the other day from Boss Logic. It's just news from Mattel, really jumping up in popularity here. You know, 51,000 likes. People are like me. This stuff gets them excited. What it is that Street Sharks are making a 30th anniversary comeback. So the Street Sharks brand are celebrating the 30th anniversary, making a comeback. I don't know what that means. I didn't actually read the article. I didn't read anything from Mattel. I don't know if they're bringing the show back. I don't know if they're bringing the figurines back. I kind of hope it's both. Give us a new season of the show, drop some figurines, and then let it go. Street Sharks, because I had them all when I was growing up, when I was a kid, and I watched the show here and there. The show I wasn't as much of a fan of. I was more of a fan of the figurines, because if I was watching shows, I was watching Dragon Ball Z. But Street Sharks are one of the best things for young kids to watch, I do believe. I think that the 90s had it right. And I can make a pretty viable argument as to why kids young boys, really. I won't say young girls. I'm sure there are some young girls that aspire to live the street shark lifestyle, but it's probably mostly young boys. I think that the street sharks are a 100% more attainable goal and a more realistic role model for young boys. And I'm going to make that case. So stand by and let your boy cook here. All right. I took some of the most popular cartoons that kids grew up with or kids are growing up with now. And I've made my argument here. So the first one that's very popular is Transformers. And Transformers are something that is literally impossible to aspire to because you can't become a transforming robot. No kid can become a transforming robot. It's not possible. You're never in your entire life. There's no amount of training that you can do. There's no amount of modifications that you can make to your body. There's not even an amount of PEDs that you can take to turn yourself into a transforming robot. So Transformers are out. Up next would be Batman. And I didn't run the actual odds on this, but I would assume that it's very, very low, like incredibly win the lottery type odds to become Batman. So Batman, Bruce Wayne, was born with parents who had serious infrastructure at Wayne Enterprises. So not only do you have to be born into extreme wealth, you also have to be born and inherit something like Wayne Enterprises with the research and development that they had to build things like the Batmobile and the suit and all that stuff. So very low, as close to zero as possible. So don't aspire to be Batman. Spider-Man. Radioactive spiders, they're hard to come by. I would say Spider-Man's probably the second most realistic here. But radioactive spiders, you kind of got to, it's like the nuclear power plant. Also got to find a spider, the right spider in the area. You got to let it bite you. It's the odds are quite low on that one as well. So if we look at like where the odds are the highest in terms of superhero cartoon transformation for young kids, like He-Man, he doesn't even live in the same universe as us. You got to look at Street Sharks, because if you know the premise of Street Sharks, these were essentially regular dudes that got injected with shark DNA and they transformed and started to fight crime. I could go on Craigslist and I could find a scientist that would inject me with shark DNA. That part is so easy. So Bruce Wayne, nope, not going to be born with those parents. Spider-Man, got to find a radioactive spider. That's Transformers, impossible. He-Man lives in a different universe. Run down the list. Street Sharks are the most viable option if you are looking to be a superhero. So find yourself a scientist that'll inject you with shark DNA and see what happens. Worst case scenario is that you actually mutate into a street shark and then you have a life of fighting crime ahead of you. So here's like an alternate timeline. This could actually possibly happen. 2024, crime rates across the United States are rather high. You know, depending on the crime statistics that you look at, crime rates are pretty high. Violent crime, pretty high. Here's what I think is going to happen. So sharks, follow along here. Sharks are one of the most metabolically active creatures in nature. They have exceptionally high levels of stored, not beta alanine, carnosine, muscle carnosine. Some of the highest muscle carnosine concentrations in nature. That allows them to swim at very high speeds, very high percentages of their threshold. See, Henshaw, I'm so much fucking smarter than you. I can explain shark exercise. Come to my seminar. But sharks have some of the highest carnosine content, which allows them to swim very fast for very long distances. They're one of the most metabolically active creatures in nature. How do these weight loss drugs work? How are we actually seeing people lose weight on Ozempic? Is it actually hunger? Or is it something where maybe these people are being injected with shark DNA and they don't even know, and Mattel is plugged in with Nordisk, who owns the patent on Ozempic, and they're saying, you know, Ozempic, the Ozempic producers are saying like, hey, bring back Mattel, bring back street sharks to get people ready for what's to come. So they're increasing the perception, or they're improving the public's perception of street sharks for an eventuality of, hey guys, Ozempic was actually shark DNA and you're all now street sharks. So the public says, oh, okay, street sharks, like Mattel just brought it back. I love street sharks. They're fighting crime. Boom. That's how they bring this stuff to the public. So it's Ozempic. It's actually shark DNA. Now everyone's a street shark, but it doesn't matter because Mattel brought it back, and the nostalgia is going to carry us into this new age, this new world where street sharks just roam the streets and fight crime. Honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't see how that could possibly go wrong. Bring down the crime rate, bring up the amount of street sharks. Let's see what happens. Told you that one was going to be my schizo one. So that's my one mega schizo of the day. All right, let's rock through some of these other ones here. Now, something serious, and this is a pinky promise. Zendurance, X-Endurance. I don't know. I don't know where this came from, but it got really popular very quickly. They attached their name to a lot of popular CrossFitters and started putting out some of their supplements. So, Jake, you can kind of scroll through their product collection here, but just some things that I want to highlight. So their Extreme Endurance product is $60, and it gets you, I do believe it's something like 30 servings. So this is, goddamn, their targeted ads are destroying my life. All right. So if you look at their research, and they actually post their research on here, it's all stuff that's funded by them, LOL. But look at the ingredient list here on Extreme Endurance. So when I looked at this and it said reduce lactic acid, reduce oxidative stress. Again, these people don't even know. It's not lactic acid that you're caring about. It's hydrogen ions. It's what comes with the lactic acid that you should care about. It's the metabolic acidosis that you're trying to reduce. But if you look at the actual ingredients here, you'll see that they've cut a lot of corners on this. They've gone with calcium carbonate. So this is a buffering supplement. So at high intensity exercise, your body uses a ton of carbohydrates. It produces a ton of lactic acid or lactate and hydrogen ions. The hydrogen ions are what decrease increase the acidity of the muscular environment. When muscle acidity goes up, enzymes don't work as well. Myosin and actin don't bind as well. The force of contractions drops off. It's what we notice as fatigue. So what we want to do is we want to have a system in place to buffer out those hydrogen ions. So our carbonate system grabs on to that hydrogen ion and then shuttles it for removal so that pH can stay at a balanced range and you can exercise at a higher intensity for longer. The biggest supplements in this space are going to be sodium bicarbonate because it directly contributes to the absolute capacity of the carbonate system that removes those hydrogen ions, buffers out those hydrogen ions, and beta-alanine. Beta-alanine being the second most, or the muscle carnosine system. So beta-alanine is converted into muscle carnosine being the second most powerful muscle buffer in the body. Zendurance was like, hey, let's cut some corners. Let's use some cheap-ass supplements in here. Instead of going with sodium bicarb, which is clinically proven to be far more effective, they went with calcium carbonate. Calcium carbonate, that's something I've never heard of before. You actually have heard of it before, especially if you're around my age, you're in that like 28 to 35, 40 range. You have heard, and you have had your hands on calcium carbonate before because it is chalk. It's what your teacher used to write on the board with. You're eating chalk here. You're eating $60 chalk. There's also some other ingredients that they threw in here, magnesium oxide, black pepper fruit. So the black pepper fruit is the one that reduces creatine kinase for faster recovery. But a lot of the biological systems of the body, the physiological systems of the body are going to respond to that creatine kinase level to set off or to trigger those recovery mechanisms. So by reducing that, yes, you recover faster, but you don't get the same recovery response. And then as a result of that recovery response, you don't get the same degree of adaptation. So $60 here for a supplement like this, I actually want to check something. So this one has 1,439 reviews. They're not using the system that our friends last week at Firefly were using with the the AI-generated reviews. All right, some of their other supplements, collagen and greens. Again, we've talked about collagen before. Like 100% unnecessary for the body. Offers no additional benefit if you're getting enough protein in your diet. Greens, same thing. Eat your fruits, eat your vegetables. $75. Even their creatine is insane. Their creatine is $35 for a total of what? How many grams of creatine are in here? 5 grams for 150 grams. For 150 grams for $35, you can get a kilo, 2.2 pounds of creatine on bulksupplements.com, I think for $35. I think for the exact same price. So please, 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 for the love of all that is holy, do not take any supplement from X-Endurance, Z-Endurance, whatever it's called, ever again. Yes, they've attached their name, or yes, they've attached their brand to big names. Josh Bridges, Danielle Brandon in the CrossFit space. Go to bulksupplements.com, buy the individual ingredients, save yourself the money, buy higher quality ingredients, work with a gifted coach, please, please, to sort through this stuff and save yourself some money. Up next, I'm not going to harp on it too much. I'm actually just going to link it in the show notes because I'm already behind pace and I need to stay on pace. Got to stay on pace. Pace is important here. I want to keep you guys here for the rest of your lives. Well, I do because I enjoy spending time with you. But the next one, I'm just going to link this in the show notes, Jake, and you can just pop this up here on the screen. It's another case of more research coming out around cycle syncing. Cycle syncing being taking the phases of your menstrual cycle and syncing those up with your training. The idea being that certain phases of the menstrual cycle come with fluctuations in different hormones for women. Based on those hormone fluctuations, people are trying to proactively create training routines around the luteal phase. And why is the other one slipping my mind right now? Why? Oh my God, this is embarrassing. The luteal phase and around the two phases of the menstrual cycle. Follicular phase. Brain not working today. So the two phases of the menstrual cycle, differences in hormone concentrations, you would assume maybe some differences in how you feel in the gym across women as a whole. The reality that we're finding in the research is that women have different responses to those hormone fluctuations. The magnitude of fluctuation and how someone feels during those phases is highly individualized. So trying to get out in front of this and apply a blanket, train like this in your luteal phase, train like this in your follicular phase, works for some women, 100% does not work for all of them. And if you are a woman who bought into this and maybe you don't feel run down in your luteal phase, or maybe you don't feel great in your follicular phase, and you're trying to follow this rigid system rather than individualizing it and, you know, basing it off of how you feel in the moment, talking with your coach, working through it with your coach in the moment, and being, you know, reactive rather than proactive, you may be overtraining at some times, you may be undertraining at other times, and you're far better off saying, you know, this is how I feel during these different phases. This is what I've noticed. I'm open to changes in that throughout, you know, the weeks and months ahead. But we are going to train productively and make small auto-regulation changes within the moment rather than saying you must train like this for 2 weeks. You must train like this for 2 weeks. Again, more research just coming out that shows that cycle syncing around your training is most likely, you know, another one of these fads that people jumped on because it sounded good, but just doesn't check out. All right, last but not least, in our memes and things section, I thought this was a meme when I first scrolled through it and I screenshotted it, but then I looked at the profile, Meow Mayx. I don't know how to say the name, but that is the account, you know, really big account, millions of followers, and very confusing posts. So when I first looked at this, I screenshotted it because it said, quote unquote, good for kids on the Hawaiian punch and 18 grams of sugar. My first question is, who the fuck thinks that Hawaiian punch is good for kids? Who is saying that? Listen, you can have this myopic view of the world. You can have this doomer, pessimistic view of the world and say, you know, parents are feeding their kids garbage and they think it's good for them. No one thinks that Hawaiian punch is good for kids. People are feeding that to that's what someone with no kids says. People are giving that shit to their kids because their kid wants that and they want their kid to shut up. And they've also highlighted the fucking food coloring in here. This food coloring thing is insane. Insane that people are latching onto this so hard. So highlight food coloring blue one. It exacerbates symptoms of autism. Come on. Come on. There is no meta-analysis or any research that supports that whatsoever. People are just latching on to, hey, they gave a rat food coloring blue one. They gave it to it its body weight and it started acting silly. So probably going to happen with your kid. Like, devil's in the dosage, guys. But back to my original point. Number one, no one fucking thinks that Hawaiian punch is good for kids. No one's saying that. No one thinks that. They're giving it to their kids because their kids like it and they want their kid to shut up. Or because their kid was just outside exercising for 2 hours, was running around with their friends for 2 hours, riding bikes to their friend's house for 2 hours. They come back in and they probably need some easy calories, some sugar to replenish all those carbohydrates that they just burned up. So 18 grams of sugar and something like that, within reason, it's perfectly fine in the diet of a child. Perfectly fine. As long as the rest of the diet is made up of high quality foods. Number two. And you have to scroll for this one. Also, the Gatorade, good for athletes. Like, are there better options for athletes? Sure. But when we look at carbohydrate needs for athletes, the whole thing here is like, well, athletes don't need 55 grams of sugar. Well, how do you define an athlete? Because if you define an athlete as someone who does bicep curls for 30 minutes, yes, they don't need a Gatorade with 55 grams of sugar. But if you define an athlete as, you know, someone who's out running 3,400 meter repeats, like, 55 grams of sugar isn't even going to come close to their needs for that session. So you have to look at, what am I actually defining as an athlete? When I say athlete, I think of someone who's actually competing in sport. And for that, 55 grams of sugar is actually necessary. And then, of course, it's this hippie, frou-frou, weird shit when we get to the next slide. And it's like, you should be drinking coconut water and you should be flavoring your water with like weird leaves and sticks and blueberries, and like kids should be drinking that instead. It's always these hippie plant-based fucking weirdos who really don't understand. Coconut water is extremely, extremely low in carbohydrates. This whole thing has 50 grams or 50 calories. So around 12 grams of sugar, 12, 13 grams of sugar in it. That's not even going to come close to the needs of a large athlete who needs 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour of exercise. The amount of coconut water that you would have to drink would just be way too much. And the amount of electrolytes in coconut water, Jake, you can show the nutrition label here, is extremely, extremely low compared to a true electrolyte supplement like Element, like all of these new electrolyte drinks that are hitting the market. So again, Gatorade can be perfectly fine for athletes. Hawaiian punch can be perfectly fine for kids. Coconut water doesn't deliver the carbohydrates and the electrolytes needed, and putting sticks and herbs and shit in your water is what weirdo hippies do. This is very, very much off the mark here. All right, Jake, I am so far behind now. I got to really, really roll through these next ones. Jake, hit a mid-roll gifted ad here. Gifted Wellness. Listen, you're listening to this and you work at a place that doesn't offer corporate wellness, you need to go to gifted-wellness.com, copy that link, send it to the HR director, say, hey, these guys are the real deal when it comes to training and nutrition. I think that I need to improve my health. I think that my coworkers could improve their health. We would be happier, lower stress, more productive, miss less days of work, and enjoy our time at work. Enjoy you as our employer a lot more if you offered something like this to us. We are very competitive in terms of prices based on the market, but the service that we offer, the coaching that we offer at Gifted compared to your average corporate wellness program is not even close. Not even close. We greatly exceed anything that they can offer. Now, again, just like last week, Jake always tells me, highlight a single client. Jake, don't tell me what to do. I live my own life, make my own rules. You're not my dad, but you are my mom. Hi, mom. Just kidding, Jake. You're not my mom. But you can't tell me what to do. So our single client highlight is just going to be our transformation challenge. People, Jake, you can just kind of cycle through those, show the amazing transformations, and of course, our winners. Congrats to our winners, Lauren and Brad, taking home that $1,000 cash prize. If you do want to start winning big prizes like this and transforming your body and your life, make sure that you follow Gifted HQ so that you can keep up with all of our posts, all of our releases, all of our challenges and events that can possibly put some money in your pocket. And worst case scenario, you become a fitter, healthier, sexier version of yourself. All right, last but not least is our Reddit question of the day. So our Reddit question of the day, Jake, it's going to be 4714. 4714 is the one for the day. Oh, I put it in the other folder. I told you I was going to do that at the beginning, and I forgot. All right. This one comes from PM_me_cool_potatoes. That username really took me through a lot of emotions. It's about jogging regular. This is an individual who is out of shape. They get pain in their chest, difficulty breathing, makes it almost unbearable. He says he knows once he's in shape that it'll get a lot easier, but it's very difficult getting to that point. First and foremost, I would go to your doctor and get some clearance on that chest pain and difficulty breathing. So look into that. Make sure that you're cleared there. There's nothing medically going on. If your doctor says you are A-okay, good to go, make your way over to giftedhq.com and buy one of Coach Carolyn's templates. This is the easiest way. Stop thinking about it. Stop trying to make up your own workouts. If you want a more customized approach, just hire Carolyn to write your running programming. Stop trying to do this yourself. You wouldn't try and fix the pipes under your sink when you get a leak or a clog or anything like that. Stop trying to write out your own training program. You're not a subject matter expert. Hire someone to do it for you. Make it a much more enjoyable and productive experience as a whole. That's my first. Now, as is always the case, I'll also give you some free advice. Free advice is to not sleep on jogging and walking intervals that heavily favor the walking side of that equation. A lot of people think, I need to start getting running, better at running. I'm just going to run a mile straight through. And they absolutely fucking bury themselves, which is not a good place to be. It's not a good situation to find yourself in. Your shin splints are horrible. Your breathing is terrible. So when I first started CrossFit, I had zero running background. And Tom gave me a ton of jog walk intervals. 30 second jog, 90 second walk, 30 second jog, 60 second walk, 30 second jog, 30 second walk, 60 second. How you break it up doesn't matter. Just keep an eye on your breathing and your heart rate so that your breathing and your heart rate don't get out of control. Adjust the jog speed, adjust the jog length so that you're not finding yourself in this difficulty breathing, almost unbearable to continue going situation. We want to avoid that at all costs, because at that point, your heart rate's probably out of control, your respiratory rate is out of control, you're not actually gaining the adaptations, you know, the mitochondrial adaptations, the blood flow adaptations, the breathing adaptations, the cardiovascular adaptations, all the good things that come with getting better at running or that underpin being better at running. You're not getting those because you're burning yourself so hot by trying to sustain a jog at a pace that you can't and for a duration that you can't. So jog walk intervals, with the walk being 2 to 3 times, up to 4 times, 5 times, as long as you need, as long as the jog itself. You'll also find that you become more efficient with your running. So when we start to really lose our breath, really get that heart rate out of control, we start to move very inefficiently. And that's kind of a feed forward mechanism of the negative consequences that you are seeing. So you're getting tired, you're moving more inefficiently, you're expending additional energy that you shouldn't be, and you're kind of digging that hole deeper and deeper. Last but not least is that you're someone who doesn't have a ton of aerobic adaptations right now to make you actually good at running. So what I recommend for a lot of my clients is, yes, do some running each week, but also throw in some low or no impact activities that'll improve your aerobic system as well. So do some rowing, do some skiing, do some biking, do the Stairmaster, do some other activities that are also going to give your, you know, your shins a break, your knees, your legs a break. Because someone who never runs, who jumps into it, the volume just becomes too much to handle, and you just end up with so much fatigue in your legs. The shin splints are so bad that you can't consistently give yourself that aerobic stimulus that's actually going to make you better at running long term. So dial it back, use some different modalities, jog, walk, intervals. The easiest way to do this is obviously to hire Carolyn. If you are someone who finds yourself in this situation with jogging and running as you listen, like, man, PM me cool potatoes sounds like me, just hire Carolyn instead of all the other, dealing with all the other nonsense that comes with getting started in your running career. Jake, that's going to wrap us up for today. Guys, thanks for watching. It's amazing to have all our loyalists here. It's great to see, you know, as we go along, more likes, more comments, more views, more subscriptions, all of that good stuff. Really makes us feel special, makes us feel like we are making an impact and actually helping people improve their general physical preparedness over here at the GPP. I'll see you on the next episode. But in the meantime, in between times, and as always, make sure you do me this one favor and stay gifted. We love you and goodbye.